Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Big Brother Specialists are back and ready to talk about Sunday's episode.
Blake, what let's go! Angela, what are you doing?
That's going to be us the entire time she's on our screen is just, Angela.
Come on. It was so interesting her being like, I'm going to say all the HOH questions and talk like this. And she's so excited. And then like by the end of the episode, she's like, I'm nominated. This is the worst. Like, I don't know. It's something where you're like,
I wasn't okay. expecting to be nominated.
Yeah, like how? And like Big Brother's a hard game that's gonna mess with you and whatever. And some people are mentally fortitude of like, who cares? I'm just gonna go out there and do it. And it's interesting to see the people who have it and who don't. And it's like Angela is not gonna have it of like she is literally going to like crumble as soon as she's nominated, as soon as she's have not, and it's like we're just It's starting the train of like, here's what's happening. And I think that's been a lot of frustration for people watching the live feeds recently of like, oh, anytime something comes up with Angela, we're not allowed to talk about it. And like, oh, that, and some people are saying she's getting bullied, and you're just truly wondering like, where were those people last week? Not saying that like, you can't bully people or it's not fun to watch people get bullied, but like, we have some people watching the live feeds right now who are like, these mean girls are bullying these people. And it's like, if you were next to Angela in a dentist office waiting with your root canal to go in, and she was talking on the phone, she's probably not even doing this. She's probably FaceTiming and talking about some random crazy shit with her kids while you're sitting there with your root canal problem that you would bitch about her on the internet on your own Twitter for hours. Like, these people have to live with her 24/7. They don't get to go into the dentist's office and drive home afterwards. They have to live with Angela. They have to watch her eat an avocado with a spoon and just not say anything or what. And it's like, I don't feel bad for anybody that signs up to be on Big Brother and then has their life play out. I stand on it's a show.
It's a show.
It's a show.
We start off the episode where Kenny's just really sad that his number one Matt went home, and then Kimo is just ecstatic that he was able to take himself off of the block.
Kimo, baby. Kimo's great, man. We ended the episode with, say that one more time. I heard Kimo, and then I thought we were talking about last episode, but you're saying we ended last night's episode with...
We started off the episode. Kenny is just... It's the...
Oh, okay. We're literally...
Kenny is really sad that his number one went home, and then Kimo's just ecstatic he took himself off the block and everything like that.
And let's complain a little bit, because I like to complain. Like, starting off your Sunday episode with the recap of Thursday, it's like, I would have loved to get that emotion on the live show, or I would have loved to, like, I'm not saying I need more Big Brother content. I need it to be an hour and 10 minutes. I need it to be 90 minutes. I need it to be 2 hours. Not saying that, but like, I ask Kimo, how do you feel in the moment? And oh, Julie, I'm so, and maybe she did, maybe I'm like reverting, but like, then also don't do it when he's in the diary room, unless there's something crazy that he's revealing of like, I literally was so down in the dumps. I hate everyone I'm around, but now that I won the AI arena, I can blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Cause like, oh, Kenny, how does Kenny feel about Matt? That's like the least interesting thing possible. Let's get to this HOH immediately. And like, the HOH was like, I am now embarrassed to show this to people again of like, we're going to watch America's Funniest Home Videos, but it's going to be the animal edition, and then ask you a couple questions about what's going on. And you're just like...
I mainly just hated that this episode was full of confessionals with people being like, I need to win HOH this week because insert reason why. And I'm like, is that the only thing that anybody is going to talk about this episode? Mm-hmm. Is just, I'm winning HOH to get revenge for Matt. I need to win this HOH so I can have power for this. And I'm like,
I haven't had Cheetos in a while, and they'll probably be in my HOH basket.
Yeah, I'm like, can we get some like context on the gate, anything like that? And they're like, I really just need to win HOH this week. And I'm like, all right. So I have like no notes on your confessional or anything like that, because you provided nothing.
True. And like, I think there's the interesting thing of the person who does end up winning is Chelsea. Let's go. She's establishing herself.
Your first boot.
Yeah, my first boot is when the second week HOH, which is the worst HOH to win ever. Usually, traditionally, the lines have already been drawn, or the lines get drawn week two, and then it's kind of like retribution, like even more so than week one. But like, the thought process of Chelsea winning, she does say earlier in the episode that, yeah, I can't win this because it'll make me show my cards too soon. And so that's what's happening. But then that turns into, the whole second half of the episode, but it's her, T-Core, and Leah are in the final three of that HOH. So Leah's in her second final three of these equitable comps. So maybe Leah's just good at everything.
I think Leah has potential.
Sheesh. Sheesh. Leah has potential. I couldn't say it. I couldn't say it better. Maybe I should say it better. But like, I think Leah is like, oh, she's a VIP cocktail waitress, which is a roadmap of she's the next Janelle. She's the next Rachel. She's going to, and I am rooting for her, but like, I'm glad she didn't win this one because she can't win the like early ones and not like become the problem later.
Right.
Are we saying anything interesting, people at home? I don't know.
Well,
I was just so jazzed on Thursday, and then watching this episode, I'm kind of like, oh, okay.
I mean, yeah. John says it, essentially.
Like, I hope they are... With this structure, it is kind of like you have 3 full days of editing with your editors to get anything from the weekend into the Wednesday episode. But the Wednesday episode can't be full, chocked full of entertainment because it has at least a veto. And then you have the lead up to the veto... You have the aftermath and then the ceremony. So like usually I think one thing that's true about Big Brother is people always go like, oh, where are the like welcome? Who wants to see my HOH room?
It's like, get out of here.
Anytime you see that, that means that season isn't as interesting as other seasons because that's a filler thing they need to put in. And so like I'm wondering what's gonna be gone from the Wednesday episodes. Like, are they gonna skip the picking for the veto? Are they going to skip the aftermath and just go straight to the ceremony? Like, there's a lot of stuff about the show where if there's anything good that's happening this weekend, it has to be on Wednesday and fleshed out and perfect. But then it's like, when is Tuesday happening? When is Wednesday happening? Like, I'm just lost right now of what is the point of our current, if the HOH is going to take up all of Sunday's episode. That's not how the show has ever done it.
Right.
And the AI, like literally we have 3 episodes a week. And that means at least half of our 6 hours is going to be competitions. And some people don't watch the show for competitions. Mm-hmm. We want to see the interpersonal stuff. What's the point of having 16 people if you only see about 3 of them interact with each other? That's something that's in the back of my mind as we go forward in this season of like, what is going on?
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Lisa trying to make it look like she voted Matt out of the house and then Chelsea just not buying it?
Anytime Lisa's on screen, I'm like, this is a very bad player. Like, it does feel like Lisa is just, why has nobody tried this? And it's like, because that's a really bad idea. and like, because you're living with these people 24/7. Can you keep up the lie that whole time? Is somebody going to look at your eyes when somebody mentions Matt and go, well, Lisa's eye twitched when someone said Matt? No, they're not saying that because they're already annoyed with you so much about everything else that they're just going to go like, I don't care if she voted for Matt or not. Get her out of here.
Yeah.
Which like is like, welcome to the show, Tucker. Tucker has like a 5-minute segment about
montage of I hate Lisa.
Yeah. And I was like, let's go, because I like Tucker, but Lisa is another person where, oh, I got stuck in an elevator with Lisa for 2 hours. You would talk about it for the rest of your life of like, you'd be on your deathbed when you're 145 years old being like, and at least I'll never have to live with the memory of the elevator that I was on with Lisa for 2 hours back in 2024. and like, these people are living with her all the time. And like, I think legitimately the stuff that, what's funny is there's like people making up stuff on the internet about like feeds and stuff. So if I ever step right into a hole, I hope I break my ankle and like lose the whole podcast and it gets ripped from our hands. But like, she's putting edible glitter in people's food and being like, don't you want
need more microplastic?
and like, legitimately, it's something. Okay, well, we said this last time, like, you're gonna say anything different about this, but I cannot get over like that, or like, I put some oil on your pillowcase so you'll sleep better, is like one of the most insane things of like, do not mess with people's food and do not mess with where people sleep, is like, even in the Geneva Convention or some bullshit of like, like, don't you don't poison people in war.
Yeah.
Like, you have to shoot them with bullets. Like it's something where you're like, human decency or human rights or whatever, where does this fall in this, is very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Tucker just wanted to make some chicken wings, and then she was like, I'll make shrimp too for surf and turf. And he's just like, I just want to make some chicken wings.
Nobody's thinking about chicken when they say turf at all. What the hell? Then she recooked the shrimp. That sounds not good. And Angela goes, that's why those toilets have been getting extra used. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, apparently she just makes food and is just like, here, and just lets it sit. Like, what? Why do you just cook food? I guess because you're bored, but like,
I guess because you're bored and you're a chef, like.
And then she's exercising while cooking.
That was crazy. That was legitimately like, what are we doing here? It was interesting. Like, we're not going to have mascots every time. So I was wondering if that was going to come around of like, I guess they absolutely lost a competition, but I was wondering if like one of the have nots would also have to wear the microchip thing, but I guess we haven't got to Vito. So maybe that could happen.
Yeah.
Interesting seeing more about Chelsea. It seems like she is smart. She does take the time to go, what does everybody want? How is everybody feeling?
Yeah.
And like, everyone is feeling the, well, I don't ever want to live underneath an Angela HOH ever again.
Yeah.
Kenny seems really sad. And Lisa's kind of weird. So like, like, those three nominations for her seem like not only no-brainers, but like, which one of those three people would like actively try to get her nominated on someone else's HOH? And like, you just have to hope that whoever does stick around through a veto, through a AI competition, doesn't like, I blame it all on you, Chelsea.
Yeah, and she also was toying with the option of putting up Mackenzie as well, because Mackenzie spilled the beans on her veto, so maybe just to like use it, but then she was worried about Mackenzie targeting her later on in the game, because Mackenzie would be coming off of the block most definitely.
Oh yeah, like, so, and I think that's a smart thing. Like, we have that 5-second clip where it's like, now that she's told me this information, should I use it to get her out, or should I keep her closer? Like, for as much as like, ooh, what strategy? Like, that's baseline strategy going in this game of like, I do think it makes sense if you aren't friends with Mackenzie. Like, I have the power right now. Waiting till I win the power next time is kind of crazy. And like, letting someone that you're not close to keep their power and get further by another week is kind of like, you probably should be doing this. Like, come on.
Yeah. A lot of people also wanted to like, I mean, Leah Mackenzie wanted to win for Matt. And I feel that's so cringy when it's like, I want to win for the person who just went out of the house. And like, they were with them for a week, and I don't know. I just felt like that whole segment where Leah comes into the bathroom, like, closes the door, and immediately, like, ugly cries with Mackenzie, and they're like, we need to do this for Matt.
24/7. Like, I think that's the thing where, who have you hung out with for 24/7, besides roommates, besides girlfriends or whatever, but it is kind of like, whenever you go on a, like, that's the joke, is like, we're all going to Miami as friends and we come back and the whole friend group hates each other. It's like, being together 24/7, you do find, well, these are the three people I can go to and hang out with. Like, maybe it's not like lifelong bonds. Like I'm sure there's people that have were on Big Brother 3 together that still check in 20 years later.
Yeah.
And like I think that's the part where when you're watching, you're like, okay, I have to be like, if somebody got rid of my only friend that I liked in this and my back's against the wall, I'm not going to go, hopefully I win. It's be like, okay, yeah, I could do this for like, if I got jaw surgery and you had to do this whole podcast, you'd be like, I'm doing this for Blake.
No.
You what?
I'd be like, that's crazy. No, Big Brother's over, man. Sorry. Blake so got crazy. Jaw surgery.
That's messed up. I did not like the competition. I'm ready to take a stance of I do not like the AI stuff. And okay. I truly think we are just, I mean, if you know about what I complain about on Survivor, it's going to be like, as we're getting more and more, I can see the cracks in production of like, we don't want a weird live moment. So instead of having weird live moments where it's like, are you locked or not? Like we used to do that for 15 years. Now it's like, because Angela is doing true or false, Angela's the host and we can edit around like, oh, didn't quite hear you, or are you locked or not?
Yeah.
And like that looks cooler, but it's like less of the magic of live TV. If the whole thought process of Big Brother and why it's fun is live TV, but we're eliminating all the live stuff from it, now Big Brother is less fun.
Well, I also think with this comp, they had the true and false cue cards almost, when a lot of times they have the rotating squares and they forget to reset. So this was a lot easier to remember to reset, because you just take off the cue card, listen to the question, or take off the cue card and leave. So I think they would have had a better live introduction.
Right. And like, I think is Big Brother, is CBS, is whoever cutting corners. And like, I know maybe it was the other way around of criticizing like Big Brother 16 episode 2 or week 2 HOH is like, we bought 80,000 bouncy balls. And you're like, oh, okay, that's kind of wasteful. And like, I bet they were cleaning that up for 6 years. But like, we're doing a America's Funniest Home Video reel.
Yeah.
And like, I hate the AI thing. That's what I'm trying to say right now. Is
Ainsley did studies on humans, and she saw that they love funny animal videos. So we're
gonna like
funny animal videos.
Who does this work for? And I think it works for people that are under 10 and over 50. Of like this doesn't. That's not how AI works, or like that, like what are we talking about? And like, AI is not something I want to really normalize or like accept in my weekly dialogue and whatever. And you're like, okay, equitable stuff. Actually, it's not equitable. I have poor short-term memory. And like, I can't think of more than 5 clips, and we're going, was that clip number 4 or not? And it's like, I would like to flex my muscles and whatever. And like the funny animal videos, it's not as iconic. Here's what I'm actually saying. Whenever we do this stuff and flashbacks, like 10 years from now, they're not going to go, do you remember that funny farm animal HOH in week 2?
Mm-hmm.
It was iconic when Chelsea won that and then took out those girls. And it's like, when someone's launching a ball and it goes into the perfect spot and whatever it is, like, oh, that's really cool. Or when somebody, it's balance beam time and someone runs the balance beam way faster than everyone else in front of everyone else, and they go, oh my God, like that is visually cooler and something I can remember about for years. I'm never going to go, what question did Chelsea win? I don't care.
If we're doing some sort of like, I guess, trivia based one, I like where they have like either the multiple buttons or something where they're facing off against each other. They pick two more
knockout.
People. Yeah. Like anything
knockout
like that.
Like Like, if you have the time and it's not live, let's reveal the pecking order immediately and have everyone hate each other when there's still 15 people, not whenever, like, okay, we got all the ones that everyone hates, now reveal it. It's like, no. Literally have Angela go, the first two people have been randomly selected, and then, like, but you're going to be picking the rest, and have everyone go, oh, no.
But what was your favorite funny animal video?
The guy when he didn't have a hat and he was like feeding the animal, and then the animal was like,
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So Kimo and Chelsea have a great conversation here about connecting over, you know, gays and religion, because Kimo's gay, was growing up in a Christian household. Chelsea and her family are very religious, and she has a gay brother. So they kind of like related on certain things, because, you know, Kimo's dad was a pastor. And we just had like a nice conversation.
I don't think this is groundbreaking or interesting.
No, it was just a nice conversation.
Yeah, like, I hate to say that, but it is kind of like, this feels very 2001 or two, mm-hmm. of like,
there's always those forced moments of, let's integrate this person's religion or sexuality into something.
Right.
But it didn't feel as forced as it like has been in the past.
Because Chelsea's not a preacher, right? Because I know that's what I was wondering. Okay, she is. So that's important to her. And like, I think that's a thing where, like, all right, that's where we went with casting on this stuff. Of, we do have religious people, and they maybe that's in your mind of like, are they going to get along with or accept? Or, and she goes, well, my brother's gay. And like, I think what's interesting is, Chelsea's dad a pastor or no? She just was
I don't know about Chelsea's dad.
Because usually those people are like, and then I did it because my dad did it. So I'm like, yeah. How many people? And like, I know this is a layer that maybe not everybody's into, but like, I see a lot of stuff for my job, and like, anytime there's a gay kid and it's a pastor kid, there's so many of them, mm-hmm. where you're like, I don't know if they're seeking out reality TV or if that's like, they love reality TV because it wasn't church or what, like, and so instead of it being like, that's so interesting, I'm like, damn, another one. But I think that's another thing too, is like, on CBS, on these reality shows, usually the gay men are also like Black or Asian or Hispanic. Yeah. And like, that has been on Survivor a lot too, mm-hmm. where you're like, it's hard. Like, sometimes I want to feel the story of what it does to be a Hawaiian without the also gay layer. I know that's not his specific story, but that is a thing where you're like, damn, I was hoping to, what is it like to be Hawaiian family without, I felt neglected and closed off from my entire family for 15 years because I never told my dad I was gay, is like a, oh shit, that does suck. But like, I know the gay experience, like, I know I'm kind of talking out of my ass right now, so maybe it's like, just cancel me right now. But it is like, oh, what is a Hawaiian experience? We're not going to get that because we're getting the Hawaiian gay experience. And like, I'm sure a Hawaiian family is like so close-knit, and he's probably still close-knit, but you're not so close-knit where you didn't tell your dad you're gay, blah, 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 blah.
Hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with that, but like, that's kind of coming from my own, like, did I ever tell my dad I was gay? No, he died when I was 24. But like, that's something where you're like, would I express that in, like, who is trying to express this? Is he trying to really connect with the HOH because it's a game level thing? Or because she straight up says, wow, you're really telling me very specific things about your life. And like, it's interesting because maybe I need a confessional from Kimo where he either goes, it's so nice to have somebody in the house like her where I can say everything and feel like I have friends in this house, where it felt like I was all alone in week one, or I'm sharing this information with Chelsea because she's the HOH and I need her to think she can trust me on anything. And I got neither of those, right? Or did we get one of those?
Not really, because then we go into the Pentagon Alliance, and Kimo's not even involved, like, remotely in this. So it's Cam, Chelsea, Cedric, and then they bring in Quinn and Brooklyn.
And they were doing this or this?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. They weren't making a Pentagon.
It's this one, we're all together, and then it's this by ourselves, and they were like, you have to put the thumbs out, which I was like, oh, okay.
I don't know. But, like, they started their alliance up, and Brooklyn is feeling weird about it because she was the last one in, but she's not worrying about it right now.
And I think that's part of Brooklyn's, like, wow, she is very aware of how to play Big Brother, or very much like, great, like, I don't need to worry about semantics about an alliance or the stuff on day 9.
Yeah.
Like, let me just get as much people that have my back and want me to be around, and then go, oh, if I lose in 5th place and the Pentagon makes it all the way, I made it to top 5, and like, it's up to me to play the next 67 days to get better than 5. Like, I think that's the right way to approach things right now.
Yeah. Another great moment of this episode was Mackenzie asking Trevor to put sunblock on her. And then Trevor's like, all right, you get me back. And Mackenzie just leaves.
Oh, Tucker. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Tucker.
All good. He's Trevor to me too. that was a fun moment on I saw that on X or Twitter. And so that's something where seeing that, I didn't hear that he asked her first, like, you're going to get me, right? And she's like, of course. So that's something where, what does that explain about those two people game wise of like, Mackenzie's going to, yeah, of course, and immediately not put sunscreen back on. So she's not going to use the veto later. The other thing that is happening in the background of this, on the layers of this, what's it called? The fiends, is like, Angela points out to a group of people and says, I think they're all together. And it was CCC, which is Chelsea, Cam, and Cedric.
That's the core of the Pentagon.
And then also T-Core. And that was a thing where it's like, oh no, she's falling into the same problems that Kyle fell into a couple years ago of when people are just hanging out. Are they an alliance? Are they saying that? She says it's Quinn. Quinn tells somebody that's happening. And that's maybe a reason why there's a lot of stuff going on of, what did Angela truly mean by this? Is she being paranoid? Is there a layer of, well, she wouldn't have said this about a group of 4 white people. And like, that's what's kind of percolating through Twitter. That's what's maybe kind of percolating through the house of like, not only did she put everybody in the spin cycle for week 1, but now she's doing this. And like, I think it truly behooves the house to go, do you want to live through the 7th problem that Angela provides the house? Or do you want to just
nip it at the bud?
Yeah, like, Angela, nice to meet you. And people are kind of closing themselves off from Angela. We see a couple people, I'm sure this will be on the episode Wednesday, of like, just walk right by her. And as she's eating an avocado, there is a clip that's going around of her confronting Quinn about what he said or who he said this to. Because she said to Quinn, look at that group out there. And Quinn being like, kind of caught in a lie, kind of Angela is correct about what she's accusing him of, but like, it kind of seems like Angela is like, not dead on arrival, but she's kind of checked out of the game based on my latest thoughts about what happened over the weekend or whatever.
Do you think she could get removed from the house?
No.
Okay.
They haven't removed anybody from the house in years, right? Just kidding. They did like literally
last season.
Which is kind of 1.1 years, so technically correct. I don't think she would not get removed for being anything she's saying. I think she would get removed of like, this isn't what I thought it would be, and like, but like, I think there's all the parts we love about Angela is why she wouldn't last in the house longer than a month.
Do you think she pitches a valid argument to Chelsea for saying, I could be your shield, I'm a loyal ally, just give me the chance, I will, like, help you throughout the game and, you know, block any votes and all that jazz?
No. I think what's funny about the shield, the shield argument is, like, it is Final 15. Like, I don't need shields at Final 15. I need worker bees. I need swords at 15. Like, who wants to be a sword for me, not a shield for me? Like, are you going to win an HOH and go after people that are after me? Like, that's what a Pentagon would do, of like, we're covered from all sides. I hate the word Pentagon, to be honest, because it's literally what we kind of equivalate the military to in our country. So it's like, I'm like, are we talking about the military? Or like, you won't believe what happened with the parent Pentagon. And I was like, I don't know. And like, why do we need a shield? If she's a shield for me, she's also a shield for other people. Mm. And you don't get to control who she's the shield for.
Yeah.
Because like, I think there's the idea of, if she's on the block, would she go home? And she's going to be, she's could win a veto. If Angela's on the block, does she go home? Or is there the idea of like, well, we can keep dragging her because she may quit anyway.
Mm.
Is like a, like, and both of our men and women over 50, is Kenny 50? Kenny's 40 something. Both of these people are kind of like, ugh, checked out already less than 15 days in. And you're like, maybe casting 24-year-olds that have nowhere to be is the way we get a good season of Big Brother. But like, I just think there's some frustration because in casting, there's been a couple people that we put on Big Brother Canada that were like, I'm over this in a weekend. And you're like, how do you go from, I will do anything it takes to win this money, and then 15 days later, you're like, I've got a great family at home, I don't care what happens to me at all. What?
So the rest of the episode, basically the Pentagon meets about the noms, and it winds up being the noms that they meet about, and it's Kenny, Angela, and Lisa up on the block.
True.
That's it. And
the Lisa stuff, she looks like to be the real target, in my opinion, of like, I think Lisa is the, I know Angela already won an HOH. But like,
Lisa already won a veto.
So you're giving these opportunities. Like, I think that's a good way to play it, of like, if you're a competition winner and you win the HOH, you can put other people up. It's like, put the people up that have already won some stuff, so they look like even more threatening when they win their second one or their third one. And you're like, oh, mine was a fluke. They've got like two already.
Yeah. So now we'll talk any live feed stuff that are like more spoilery, if you have any that you want to discuss, because that's pretty much the episode that happened.
If you're not watching feeds, turn off the thing now and don't look in the comments.
Or you could just mute it and give us the view. That's fine too.
Oh my gosh. So we have the veto winner, and the veto winner is Sweet Kenny K, which is just such a, like, thank God.
I know.
He could not have gone home. And I think that kind of clouded, how are we talking about him? Of like, because normally I probably would have been like, I hope Kenny goes this week, but I know it's not possible. But like, the thought process of Kenny has won the veto. Why did he win the veto? Is it something where I just love competition so much? Or did he actually want to win? Does he want to take himself down? Does he want to play part of this game? And then, like, I think what's happening right now, because we're always going to be doing this Monday at noon, that's always when the replacements happen. So if we go look at this, do we have a replacement nominee yet? Because I think it usually takes them, like, a couple hours to do it. I got to type in Wiki. Wiki. The idea is Tucker has said, I will go up and be this pawn for you because I hate Lisa that much. I want to beat her.
Oh yeah. And, not showing people volunteering to go up on the block right before noms doesn't show that it's what's happening in the house.
Right. And I think the only thing that I read, which truly, I'm gonna stumble at least three times and break my ankle of like reading something that's just not true. But like, people, apparently Cam was very into the idea of being a pawn, and people kind of were like, well, maybe Cam doesn't know this game as well as I thought. And that's happening, that layer of thinking is happening in the house, not just from home. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing where like, is Cam going to be a strong ally for us, or is he going to be somebody that gets booted between 12 and 9? And like, if you're a big Cam fan, which I know some of you guys are, some of you went to college with him randomly. I think Cam will probably be like a 13 through 10 player instead of deep into the game now, just based on that perception. It's very hard to like, oh, you were down to get like, be the three people that don't get nominated until like final six. That is how you play Big Brother. Mm-hmm. I don't, oh, there's a lot of nominations going around. Well, play, if there's three times or one and a half times those nominations, you got to play one and a half times better. And like, I think that's kind of where Quinn has his mind going of like, I need to play one and a half times faster. And he's the only one who's kind of like, I hope he can keep all his plates going, because Quinn is in like 20 different alliances, it feels like.
Yeah. Mackenzie and Leah were also like, is the barbershops alliance still real? I guess we're just going to have to go with it because we don't have another option right now.
Barbershop is not real.
No.
It's a BS alliance. Barbershop.
Yes. Whoa, look at you with the jokes.
That's so good. Are you pumped for Wednesday's episode, or is it totally kind of like,
I want to see Sweet Kenny K win that veto.
Oh my god. They were wearing like overalls, right, when they came back? So
it was like nerdy.
Oh, okay. Stuff,
I think.
I was wondering if it was train conductors or nerdy, but I guess I got my answer. No train conducting vetoes. Yeah. Anyway, that's the what you missed on the weekend, or that's what you watched on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I think I want the season to be good, so I think I'm always cheering for that.
Mm-hmm.
And do I think Lisa has a, I can win HOH and turn this all around and go after the people that were after me? She probably could do that, but I like Tucker, so I'm going to root against that. All right.
There you go. Well, tune in Thursday right after the live eviction, not live HOH. And we'll be here talking about that. See ya.
They used to say live eviction and HOH, and that is